Thank you. Good afternoon to everyone present here. Myself, Manveer Rakar. I'm a grad student in Soil Science Department in North Dakota State University. Today I'm here to discuss over the issue that whether air drying of the soil sample is an appropriate step in soil potassium analysis. Soil testing is an important tool to estimate the soil fertility status or to formulate the fertilizer recommendation. But for particularly the potassium, it's in like controversy since 1920s that whether we should analyze our samples in dry condition or we should analyze it over the field moist conditions. This is due to the fact that whenever we dry our soil samples, there is usually change in the clay lattice structure. For example, if this is our field moist soil sample, it has soil solution K, exchangeable K, non-exchangeable K in it, and some water content in it. So whenever we expose this soil sample for air drying, the water content is usually dried up. It came out of the clay lattices. And if particularly this soil is high in potassium level, the soil solution K and exchangeable K will tend to get into the clay lattices, and there will be a collapse of the structure, and these potassiums will be entrapped in the clay lattice. So basically, if we would have analyzed this soil sample before air drying, means as the field moist condition, in our results, there will be more of potassium content. On the contrary, if we would have exposed this sample for air drying, and those potassium ions have been entrapped into the clay lattice, and in our results, we would have got less of the potassium content. Further, there has been research that have shown that if we analyze this moist soil samples, they generally give better correlation with the corn yield. Looking over these concerns, a research study was conducted where we tried to look over the answers for the following questions. That whether we should continue to use the dry soil samples for potassium analysis or we should switch to the moist samples. Further, how this soil exchangeable K is changing throughout the growing season. And the third objective was to look over how the existing corn varieties are performing to different potassium rates. Since the potassium recommendations in North Dakota were formulated in like 1980s, and since then, there has been a lot of introduction of new varieties in the North Dakota, so it was necessary to look whether those recommendations work well with those varieties till now. So for this, 10 sites were selected, particularly in northeastern side of North Dakota. These are some of the soil basic properties of all those sites. Particularly, I want to point out over here that for all those 10 sites, our potassium range varied from like 80 parts per million up to like 485 parts per million. So that means we had a lot of variable range of potassium in our soil sites. So based upon the categories over which the fertilizer recommendations are made, like if the soil initial potassium content falls in the range of 40 to 80 parts per million, we categorize the soil into low potassium category. Similarly, if it's like 80 to 120, it's categorized as medium. 120 to 160, it's high. While if it's having potassium level of more than 160 parts per million, we categorize that soil into very high potassium level site. Based upon that category, I have categorized these 10 sites into four groups. So out of these 10 sites, one of the sites belonged to low category potassium status site. Five of them were from the medium categories, two of them from high, and two of them from very high category range. Experimental details, total number of locations were 10. At each location, the experimental design was randomized complete block design. There were four replications and six potassium rate varying from control up to like 168 kilograms of potassium per hectare. So during the season, soil samples were collected from the control plots after a certain interval of the time. And whenever we collected that soil sample, we subsampled in that particular sample into two parts. One of them was processed as usually most of the US laboratories do, that's air drying of the soil sample, grinding that soil sample and sieving them into 2 mm sieve, and then extracting with 1 molar ammonium acetate and analyzing for potassium concentration over atomic absorption spectrophotometer. While the other soil sample, it was not air dried, it was kept intact. Its moisture content was analyzed and then was passed wet sieve through 2 mm sieve. And the soil sample was extracted with ammonium acetate by adjusting the molarity as per the moisture. So these are some of the results that we obtained from the soil analysis. This graph, the x-axis show the potassium level that we obtained from analyzing dry soil, while the y-axis shows the potassium level that we obtained from analyzing the moist soil samples. And each of these graphs represents the results or relation of dry potassium and moist potassium from each category. For example, this first graph is from the soil sample analysis that we obtained from the site that had initially low potassium content. Similarly, this is for medium potassium sites, high potassium sites, and very high potassium sites. So as we observe, as we moved from low potassium sites to medium, high, and very high, the R-square value was improved from 0.42 up to like 0.85. Another thing I do want to point out here is that when the soil's initial potassium content was low, at that time, overall, the dry soil potassium analysis was giving higher potassium values as compared to the field moist soil sample analysis. But as we moved from low potassium sites to like very high potassium sites, at this point, moist soil sample analysis and dry soil sample analysis, they were giving kind of comparable results as the slope is approximately about 1. Further, as the soil samples were collected from after a certain interval of time, we looked over how that potassium is varied over the growing season. So basically, all of the sites, there was decrease in potassium level as the growing season goes. For example, initially for very high potassium level site, the potassium level was 200 parts per million. But as the growing season progressed, it went down up to like 80 parts per million. Similarly for other sites, like for this high medium site, the potassium level was around 130, and then it went down up to like 60 ppm. Corresponding to this change of potassium level, even the ratio of moist potassium over the dry potassium was changed. For example, for this very high potassium site, for initial soil samples, moist soil sample was giving like 2 times greater potassium content in it compared to the dry soil sample analysis. But as the season progressed, this ratio was decreased and was nearly up to like 1. That means moist samples were giving comparable results again to the dry soil sample analysis. By the end of the season, we harvested corn and tried to relate the corn grain yield with the potassium site. In all of the 10 sites, none of them gave any significant response to the different potassium rates. Whether it was from the low, initially low potassium site, or whether it was like had initially very high potassium rate, but none of them gave any particular response to the fertilizer inputs. So such results makes us to think and to look back over our existing fertilizer recommendation that whether they hold good even today or not. So looking over these results, we can conclude that initial soil potassium level do controls the variation between dry and moist potassium values, and that variation do not remain consistent throughout the season. It varies as the potassium level increases or decreases over the site. And again, there was no significant response to the different fertilizer rate at any site. Acknowledgement, I'm thankful to Dr. Franzen and Dr. Chatterjee for their guidance during the whole project. I thank my colleagues to assist me in field work, and this project was funded by North Dakota Corn Council, and we are thankful to them. Thank you. Yeah, so the question is whether the clay mineralogy affects that increase or decrease of the potassium content. Yes, for sure, it depends upon the clay mineralogy, that whether there will be increase or potassium content or decrease. I mean, there are a lot of factors. Clay mineralogy is one among them. Further, it depends what was the initial soil content, what was the moisture, what was the cation exchange capacity. So we can generally conclude depending upon just single factor that whether there will be increase or decrease in the potassium content. But yes, clay mineralogy is one among them.
What kind of clay minerals do you see? What kind of clay content
and clay minerals
do you usually find in your
aerobic
clay minerals?
Clay minerals?
Are they 2-to-1 clay minerals, 1-to-1 clay minerals?
I have not analyzed my soil sample for any clay mineralogy, sorry. Yes.
I was curious, so your moist samples were higher relative to dry samples for the first sampling or early in the season, then they got fairly similar along the season.
Right.
Is there anything you can give me any hypothesis of what's happening in the soils, or if that's a real relationship, what might be causing that phase difference in the beginning?
Yeah, again, if I go back to that graph, if you look over this potassium content over here, it's like 200 parts per million. And over there, it was giving like double the value of potassium as compared to dry soil sample. But by the end of the season, the potassium content was way to decrease. I mean, the potassium level was decreased, so there was a change in the relation between moist and dry. Yeah, and by then, actually the soil, they usually tend to maintain a kind of chemical equilibrium in them. If it's higher, then it will tend to entrap the potassium content in the clay lattices. But if it's low, then usually what happens, there is a crawling up of the clay lattices and there is release of the potassium content. So it all depends upon what was the content of potassium at that time when we analyzed. Yes.
Yeah, you show us potassium. Do you think the relationship would hold true with other monovalent or divalent cations as well?
Well, this thing is valid only for potassium because the main property of potassium is that it generally gets fixed in between the clay lattices, while others don't, maybe due to its size. Yes. In this presentation, I just presented over the soil samples that was collected from 0 to 6 centimeters. I mean, 0 to 15 centimeters. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just wondering if there was any correlation between potassium soil test levels and maybe pH, body matter content. Do you look at any relationship?
No, I have not related anything with those pH.
Okay, so let's thank our speaker.